Hey girl, you're listening to the For the Girl podcast, the podcast designed for you. Join Mac and Ken's as they cover all the hard topics for real life girls trying to love Jesus. Get ready for encouragement, truth, and let's be real, a little bit of a hot mess. Is it just me or are Mac and Ken's your new best friends? Let's get into the episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the For the Girl podcast. I hope you are having an amazing day. I actually listened back to an intro the other day and I realized our tone was like, or at least my tone was like,
you were too chill. You needed to bring the energy.
Yeah. So here it comes.
She is energized this morning, and it is the morning when we're recording, which we never record in the morning. And I actually feel pretty energized. I just finished my coffee. Kenz and I are about to do a whole episode on friendship, and we just spent 30 minutes talking about our current friendships.
Yeah.
In our lives, because we live in different places, and we don't really know each other's new friends in our our cities. And so we just spent 30 minutes talking through, oh yeah, she's my friend, they're our friends.
We like them. I like this about them. Blah, 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 blah. It's so crazy because, you know, I don't think we're necessarily qualified in this category to talk about, like, what makes a friendship last. But we have a lot to say about it because Mac and I have been friends for super, super long and have gone through ups and downs and all arounds and also like run a ministry together / biz and then do this at the same time. So we've learned a lot along the way. But at the same time, also, we are, you know, in our 30s, we've made friends through college, we've had friends growing up, we've made moves and had to build new friends in our adult life. So we kind of have like a whole plethora of stories and examples for you guys. So hopefully that will be helpful. Oh my gosh, this energy I'm giving right now, I can't even. I can't keep this up, guys.
Before we dive into this topic of friendship, I would like to discuss my pregnancy issues with you.
Oh, please. We need some pregnancy updates.
Okay, I will be 34 weeks tomorrow, so we are nearing the home stretch of pregnancy. And my number one thought of this third trimester is that it is extremely humbling. Every day I'm in... Every day I am embarrassed by myself and my lack of ability to do many things. like, for example, every day is just a battle of heartburn. I just have heartburn. And, yikes. I can't eat any – a lot of foods I just can't eat because it's immediate heartburn. And, like, it hurts so bad I have to just hold my chest
Literally, anytime I've ever had heartburn, I like think I'm having an actual heart attack.
Heart attack?
The worst.
Yeah. Try, you know, 6 months of it. But anyway, so heartburn. And then the newest one that I'm really experiencing in the third trimester is how hot and sweaty I get. Like, you know, Kenz, I already run hot. Like, I get hot easily.
Yeah.
Now, I can just be sitting, doing like this, and I am having a hot flash. Yesterday, I got my hair done, and I had to stop my hairdresser and be like, I am literally having a hot flash. Can we do something about it? And we did. She was so sweet and kind, but it's really embarrassing to have to stop.
The worst. I had that in a massage once. I was getting a massage, and I was like, I'm about to... faint. I think I was legit about to faint, and I just had to be like, excuse me, can I get up and go to the bathroom? It's just like awkward.
Just talking about getting hot is making me hot right now, honestly.
Just wait. Do you know about the postpartum night sweats?
I've heard about it, and I'm so nervous because I can't imagine.
Soaking in your bed.
I've heard. I actually don't get hot when I sleep. It's just during the day, so... that will be a new fun thing too.
It goes away. And it kind of feels good. You're like detoxing, so it's fun.
Yeah. And then I can't remember if I told this on the podcast. It might have been the episode we're now re-recording, but about me going for a walk with a high school girl, trying to be cool. We were walking a very normal walk pace, but it was too fast for me. And we walked for 2.5 miles. And then I literally thought I was going to die. I could not move. I had to come home and lay on the couch for like 2 hours to even be able to move the slightest bit. And it was just really, it was really humbling.
And how are you feeling about like your body image? Like, how are you embracing the journey of your body changing?
You know, I got to admit, I look in the mirror these days and it's, you know, the body is one thing. The body is one thing. But when you look in the mirror and you see your face and like, I think I am the most judgmental of myself, but you know, the swollen face, the swollen hands, the swollen feet, I'm like, oh my goodness, who is she? But it's okay. It's okay.
I won't mention names, and this wasn't you, but one time Josh was like, we were like, I think my mom was there. My mom was like, hey, how's that girl doing, pregnant or whatever? And I was like, she's really not showing yet. And then Josh was like, yeah, she is. Interrupted. Yeah, she is. You could totally see it like in her face. And I was like, Josh, no, showing in her belly, you know.
Are you sure that wasn't me?
No, it was not you. That's
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised.
To be honest, I think your face looks fine. I would tell you, you know I'm honest. I think your face looks fine. I really do. Like, I really think your face looks totally fine. So, normal. Well,
that's kind of you. People have been telling me that, but you know, when you look in the mirror, you're like, whew, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you just don't believe it anytime. Yeah. People are like, well, you look good.
Like yesterday, getting my hair done, you know, you're just sitting in front of a mirror for multiple hours, and I was like, get me away from this thing. But I know it's temporary, and I know that it is for a reason. It is such a gift, but it is good. Like, it's good to be. It really is like stripping of the identity of your looks in a lot of ways, which I think is can be a really beautiful and good thing. So,
yes, that's great. That is good. So, wow, what a doozy. She's getting pregnant, guys. She's almost there. You're almost to the finish line.
I know, almost there. I'm super excited. We're pumped. We can't wait to be mom and dad and meet our little baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we should probably jump into today's episode. We are going to be talking about what makes, signs of a healthy friendship.
Five things that make a friendship last.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we changed up the title quite a few times. So that's what we landed on. Okay.
Yes.
Five things that make a friendship last. I said it before, I'll say it again. Mac and I, we met in college, crazy. And we've been friends for like 13 years, I guess. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the things that helped our friendship last through all the seasons, through the singleness, through the dating, through the marriage, through the hard times, post-grad, to the moving, to a ton of stuff. So
let's do it. All right. Okay. Well, the first thing is finding and having this beautiful balance of serious and also fun and funny conversations. I've had certain friendships that were all fun. You know, they were like the blast on Friday nights. Like, we laughed, we had so much fun. But we never really had any depth to our conversations. And then I've also had friendships on the flip side. Like, they were all depth. Like, we were always crying together or always getting deep together. But we never really quite learned how to have fun together and how to be lighthearted together. And I think friendships that are able to last and last through every season are this really beautiful balance of the two. They're the friends that, when it's Friday night and you have nothing to do, or it's Tuesday night and you have nothing to do, and this is a friend that you want to call to like go to Target with and just bop around, and you know it's going to be a blast. Or in Ken's and I's case, you can be in some random town in Arkansas and still have a blast and have so much fun and like find some random Mexican restaurant and laugh and think it's the best night of your life. But then also, those are the type of friends where in those moments, you can go from having so much fun to also having the real life conversations of, hey, how's this going? Or, hey, how is your relationship with this person? Or, hey, what's God been challenging you in lately? And I think that it's this really beautiful balance of being able to really easily ebb and flow from one to the other. And I think that's something that Kenz and I have had in our friendship always, of we have so much fun together. And then 4 seconds later, we can be in the deepest conversation ever, holding each other accountable to things that we have, you know, wanted to grow deeper in our spiritual walk. We can work through hard things together because of this depth of our relationship. And so I think it's really important for friendships that are going to last through every season for you to make sure that you are finding that balance. And if you don't currently have that balance, I believe like you can get there with any friendship. And so you can work towards this balance in your friendship.
I think it takes a lot of ownership, like as the friend, like before you go into a hang or whatever you're doing with them, like to honestly even just like think of like, oh, what do I need to check in on? Like what has been something that, you know, she's walking through that I can like ask about, or maybe it's like, oh yeah, we haven't really talked about our spiritual life in a while. I really do want to like bring that up or follow up or whatever it might be. I think it takes ownership and I think it takes intention. I mean, I think the fun side is like probably a little bit easier for a lot of people. That just happens naturally. You chit chat, you do something together, talk about like just like funny stuff like The Bachelor, whatever it is. But then you forget to insert that. So I do think if you were a fly on the wall and Mac and I's like regular conversations throughout the years, you really would like hear a lot of this. Mac always makes fun of me for this, but I feel like one thing over the years that I always like have done is I will be thinking about Mac, like, I don't know, in my spare time for whatever reason, and cute. And then I will be like, oh, dang, like I'll be thinking of a conversation, like take an example, like when she moved to Charlotte and was like trying to make friends for herself, and it was like hard and challenging. I would think about that like while I was on a walk and stuff, and I'd be like, okay, wait, I actually think Max should like, she needs to like, you know, try this or, you know, be the first to share this or make fun of this. I don't know. I'd like have ideas for her, and then I'd get on the phone with her and I'd tell this. I'd be like, you should try this or do this or I don't know. We'd have like funny moments like that. That weren't funny, that were actually more serious, like helping each other grow, helping each other through hard circumstances, praying over each other. But then at the same time, we'd like laugh really hard about it. So anyways, if you're a fly in the wall, this is definitely a part of our everyday conversation and makes for a really healthy, long-lasting friendship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Kent has always had ideas for my life and they always crack me up.
Yes, I do.
Sometimes even in moments of conflict, like we'll be really mad at each other and then she'll be like, you know what I think you should do? And I just giggle. I'm like, well, wait, what?
I've definitely crossed a boundary there too many times. But let me insert myself into everything. Okay. Number two is having mutual respect for each other's lifestyle and choices. This is really big for Mac and I. You guys might not know this, but we live like completely different lives and like have very different like opinions or maybe views or whatever on things, whether that be politics or, you know, the way we're living out our faith or maybe just lifestyle things, how we're going to raise a kid, what we're going to do, how we did pregnancy. I don't know, just like a plethora of stuff that we probably like do really differently or think really differently on. And the thing is, we don't just like tolerate it, or we're not like, oh yeah, that's fine, they do that. We actually like respect the way that they go about it or each other goes about it. I'm like, oh, great. I love that like Max doing that for her life and her lifestyle. This makes so much sense for her and Tyler. And I get it. I totally understand it. You know, sometimes right off the bat, I might have to like sit with that for a while and be like, what? Like, you know, our first reaction is to like put up, you know, be like question it or judge. But then if I think a really healthy, long-lasting friendship does take a second to like be like, oh, wait, no, like,
That's really cool for them. This makes so much sense for them. I actually can learn a lot from that. I maybe need to integrate a little bit of that into my life. Having not just accepting, but actually like respecting each other's way of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this shows itself in being interested in the other person's life. I think about, like Ken's mentioned, like there's so many things that we are total opposites on. And it'd be really easy to just like kind of stop talking about those things. But I love to ask questions, and Ken loves to ask me questions about things that maybe I can't fully understand, or there are even things where it's not like she's trying to change my mind on it or anything like that, but we can still be interested in, and engaged and involved in these things in each other's lives. Like, and I just want to give you an example. Like, Ken's is way more healthy and organic and clean crunch. Than I am. Yeah, she's more crunchy than I am. And, you know, I love to hear about it. I love to hear about all her products and things that she switches to and changes to, while also not then playing the comparison game with myself where I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to go and change my whole lifestyle because this is how Ken's is living her lifestyle. I think there's this confidence in the way that I do things and what's really important to me and what I value that I can then share with Ken's as well. Like, because there are certain things that are a part of my life and my world that I place as priority that, you know, Ken's isn't doing in her life. And that's okay. And I think that over the years, we've learned to not just like sweep those things under the rug and ignore them, but actually to talk about them with each other, celebrate them for each other, and then also be like, that's awesome for you. And that's just not right for my lifestyle and how we're doing things. I think about, and this comes more and more into the forefront as you enter into different seasons of life. Like when we were both single in our 20s, living in the same city, we had a lot more in common. Now we're married, living in different cities. Ken's has a kid. I'm pregnant. Like we're in kind of different seasons of life. Like we do our marriages very differently. I'm sure we will do our parenting very differently. And I think it's a really cool opportunity to celebrate the way the other person does things, to see God's unique design and their choices and their decisions, while then also kind of figuring out what ours looks like. You probably hear my dog. The trash is being picked up and she's barking at the trash truck. But yes, so I think that's something we've just had to learn, and we have not done perfectly. There's definitely been times where I think one of us was insecure or like a little judgmental or whatever. And so I think that that's something we've learned, that it's actually really fun when I ask Ken's about her healthy, crunchy lifestyle. And I'm like, oh, cool. Wow, that's awesome.
On occasion, I can get her to buy some full-fat milk or full-fat yogurt from the farmer's market.
Oh, and then when it comes time where, like, for example, I needed to get on a prenatal for when we were trying to get pregnant, I went to my crunchy friend and I'm like, what prenatal should I be taking? And I bought those. Your throat spray, I use that thing every day. So
I don't.
Sometimes. I do. It's one of Meg's worst qualities.
Wow. Wow.
So, all right.
Yeah, well, I feel like.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, you are a lot harder to influence than for you to influence me. Although I'm sitting here trying to think of things that, that you influenced me by, and there's a million. I actually just came up with 1,000. So.
Oh, okay. Great. I'm glad I influence you. All right. Okay. The next thing that we really believe makes a friendship last, and this one is really big and really important, is that you learn how to deal with conflict well. Ken's and I have been friends for a long time, like we said, and we have seen our fair share of conflict. And if you are in a friendship right now that is still in the honeymoon phase, that is awesome and that is amazing. But I can promise you that there will come conflict one day, and there will come a time where you disagree on something, where somebody hurts the other person's feelings. And it's really easy in friendships to be like, okay, well, just now this friendship doesn't work. So I'm just kind of going to hit the eject button and be over this friendship. But I think it's actually this really beautiful moment for you to figure out how to handle this conflict well together. And I always have this story that I go back on with Kenz and I. We'd probably been friends for 5 years at this point, so it'd been a long time. And we were in this massive argument. Mm-hmm. Kenz and I ran a ministry together, so I think our friendship was like, there was a lot of weightiness on our friendship. We had to make a lot of hard decisions together, and we had to manage people together, so our friendship has had a lot of like weightiness put on it. But there was just this thing that we were in huge disagreement about, and it had caused a rift in our friendship for probably six to nine months. Like, we had been in conflict with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think we had both gotten to the point where we were just over it, and we knew that, like, we needed to have a conversation. Healing needed to happen. Something needed to change. Mm-hmm. So I went into that conversation thinking, okay, I feel like our friendship is just over, and, like, we're not going to be best friends anymore, and that's okay. Like, I kind of was like, and that's okay. Like, it's okay. We don't need to be best friends forever. Like, we had a great run. We had a great season, and, like, I think the healthiest thing for us to do is just kind of, like, break up. So we sit down at this coffee shop, and I explain this to her, and she looks at me and she goes, no. And I was like, no. And she's like, no, that's dumb. Like, we're not going to not be friends anymore. We're going to figure this out. And I remember in the moment being like, it was really humbling and really actually like one of my favorite moments in our friendship, because I was like, oh my goodness, she's right. Like, I wanted to throw in the towel, and then to have a friend on the other side who said, no, like, that's dumb. I'm willing to fight for this. I'm willing to figure this out, made me realize that I wanted to be that type of friend too, that I wanted to be that type of friend who didn't just give up when things got hard and when things got difficult. And so it gave us this really cool opportunity to press into, how do you handle conflict? And I think since then, Kenz, we have learned so much about how to handle conflict, but it came from this moment of me wanting to quit on our friendship. And so I think that moment is really a monumental moment in our friendship.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, there's, I think a lot of times friendships fall apart because of conflict. You know, you just don't want to talk about the thing, or that got really difficult or awkward. And so you're just like, yeah, we'll just go our own ways. And sometimes that's best, whatever. But I think a lot, most of the time, that's not right. If anything, I think you should like heal. You don't have to stay friends, but there should be a healing conversation. And a lot of times I think we just can stay friends. And yeah, I think that that friendship in your life, whoever it might be, that has been like hard, or there's been like something that you've just have been afraid to talk about, and so now you haven't been hanging out much, I just really do want to encourage you to like have the heart to heart, have the conversation, go in, and you know, it's going to grow your character, it's going to grow her character, and together I think you'll come out a lot stronger, whether that heals your friendship or not. And to this day, it's a regular part of Mac and I's friendship, but a lot of it does have to do with like in a within a work context. But even still, I think if we lived closer together too, we'd probably have more conflict on a regular basis. But outside of work, but yeah, just some keys here too. Like, if I look back on a lot of our hard conversations, one thing is like communicating everything in conflict. I think sometimes we hold things back, or we don't say it because of whatever reason. And I think that's really, really important to like let everything be like heard and put it out there, so that there's not any more resentment or bitterness, and so that the other person has the opportunity to like respond too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. And then two is just to put down your defense. Mac and I used to come in conversations, both of us just ready to fire at each other. Like, mm-hmm. We were just like not wanting to own up to anything. And it got us like nowhere. That was why, like, the first probably, I don't know. We really kind of like had a lot of hard stuff like in the middle of our friendship there. And it was just because we both were like, so prideful of our own, of our own stuff. And so I think if you come into humility and your defense down, you'll find that conflict goes away like super, super quickly. It's kind of the key to unlock it all.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a big believer in, and I feel like if you're experiencing conflict in a friendship right now, like this is literally the formula I would give you to like how to work through the friendship. The first would be just to like have a moment with yourself, have a moment with Jesus where you just like lay down your pride, because I guarantee you are feeling prideful right now. You're like, I'm the one in the right, she's the one in the wrong. And so that narrative has to disappear from your mind, and you have to be able to lay your pride down. So I think that's like something you do before you even enter into conversation with somebody, is just like, all right, Lord, search me, know me, get rid of anything offensive in me, and help me to just lay my pride down. Mm-hmm. And then when you enter into conversation with someone for hopefully healing and reconciliation, I think you're looking to do two things. Number one, you want to clearly communicate how you've been hurt, and not from a place of like emotion and like this place of like raw, like you hurt me, but like really explaining like, hey, when you said this, I don't know if you meant this, but when you said this or when you did this, it made me think this and it made me feel like this. And so that's why I reacted the way that I did. I'm not even putting the blame on the other person. I'm just saying, hey, when you did this thing, like this is where my mind went. And that's why I felt hurt by this. So you want to learn how to communicate it in the clearest way possible. Like fill in all the gaps of the story. Don't just like make assumptions. And then you also, you have to be willing and ready to learn and understand how you've hurt them as well. If you're not ready to learn, if you're not ready to lean in and hear how you've hurt them, then there's no point in having the conversation, because it is so important to have two people who mutually are ready to go, oh my goodness, how have I hurt you? How have you hurt me? Okay, what can we do to move forward and not hurt each other in the future? And then that's the last thing, is just to like, from that point, once you've discussed the conflict, it's start believing the best in them again. Kenz and I had this huge realization in our friendship where we were just assuming the worst in each other. Like we were not communicating through conflict. And so we just started assuming, oh, she doesn't want to be my friend anymore. Or she's like using all these other friends of ours, like to get them on her side, to be against me. And I would just start making up things in my head that weren't true. And we just agreed, okay, from this point forward, when things that are hard happen, I'm just going to start going, okay, that is not her character. That's not who she is. I'm going to believe that like right now she is believing the best in me too. And I'm believing the best in her. And that's just been like a huge core of our friendship that I think has helped us to prevent a lot of future conflicts as well. And not just kind of get in this spiral of conflict over and over and over again. So conflict is huge in long-lasting friendships. You're going to have it, but it's all about how you choose to work through it together. And it takes a lot of humility and a lot of allowing God to change your heart and change your mind towards that person.
I know that Mac and I's friendship absolutely prepared me for marriage, and she could probably say the same thing. So this is one great step, you know, for any of our single ladies listening, start like digging in your friendships and you will have an easier, healthier marriage because you learned how to deal with conflict. Okay, the fourth.
And wait, I want to say one more thing. If you look at your past and your past is full of friendship breakups, like you have a best friend for a year, it ends. Then you find a new best friend, and then in 2 years, it ends. I think you got to
take ownership of that.
You got to take ownership. You want to take a long, hard look at what was my part in all of these friendship breakups. Because I'm sure right now you're like, they were unhealthy, they were toxic, I needed to cut them out of my life. And that might be true, but I just believe that this next time you find your friendship kind of deteriorating, it's like, okay, wait. What if I actually use this as an opportunity to allow God to reconcile and bring healing to something? Because he's the God of reconciliation. He can do that. And so for the girl who is like, queen of friendship breakups,
No,
hopefully this challenges you.
That's so good. Like, truly, you can't, like, love God and have a ton of bitterness in your friendships that is undealt with. Like, the two go hand in hand. My overflow, my understanding for how much God loves me and I love him, like, I'm going to outpour that on. It's living out your faith, like, actively living out the love that he calls us to. So you can't just, like, it's activating your faith in your life. And I think that it's important, and it's not something that this is like a spiritual practice, like maintaining and loving and pouring out into people's lives around you, even when it's hard. It's a selfless thing, and I think they go hand in hand. So,
yep.
All right. Number 4 is intentionally growing spiritually together keeps a friendship long and healthy in your life. I keep going back with the topic of healthy friendship and long-lasting friendship, but whatever. They all are hand in hand. But growing spiritually together. Yeah, this is really important. Mac and I, for a really long time, actually, we used to fast together on every Tuesday. And I share that not to be like, oh, look at us, we're great. Honestly, we don't do it now, and so we've been sucking at it. So we need to get back to doing something like that. But this was just like a really pivotal part of our friendship. I remember it was Tuesdays that just like got real for us and really built a foundation of our friendship. Like at the end of, so we'd fast separately. And then at the end of the day, we would go for a prayer walk or have a prayer moment together. We would pray together. And prayer, just like intentional prayer, is such an important part of a friendship. Stopping, I don't know why it's so hard to do sometimes. I mean, I get it. I need to be praying way more with my friends, even right now in my life, because it's always just this beautiful thing. I'm like, what can I pray for? How can I intercede on your behalf? Like, how can I listen for like a word or some direction over your life? And yeah, go in together in that way. I think it's really growing, and I think it's really important. So whether that's prayer or it's taking the time to study the word together. I'm going through a study right now with a friend, and we're like watching a video, and then we go over it on Friday mornings together, and it's super sweet and super special and creates deeper conversation. We talked about the serious and funny balance before. This is a great way to insert like a routine of that more serious conversation. Mm-hmm. It just happens naturally through studying the word together, asking hard questions. So if you can identify a friendship right now in your life that does feel surface level, or maybe it just is somebody that maybe you just have a desire to grow deeper spiritually, it's so important to have accountability in that. And if you can think of somebody else who has that same desire, like get together, study the word. I was actually just thinking about how good the Freedom Looks Good on You study is such a good study to do, because not only does it study the word together, but then it also creates really, really good, honest conversation. Like the topics of the Freedom Study are shame, rejection, comparison, pride, perfectionism, half-heartedness, like stuff that you probably like need to talk about with somebody anyway. So maybe consider doing that study, anything to grow spiritually together.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so good, because I really believe when I think about our friendship, Ken, so I think about any good friendship in my life, it's not because I'm good at being a friend. I really believe that like God is the glue that has held those friendships together. My longest lasting friendships are all of my deep spiritual connection friendships. And it is 100% because I believe like the Holy Spirit is the glue that holds our friendships together when the world tries to pull them apart and break them apart. And so making this intentional decision of not just like, oh, you love Jesus, I love Jesus, we're friends, and it's naturally just going to come up, because it will and it does. But it's also like, why not commit to intentionally doing something together? Like Ken said, like Ken's and I would pray or fast together. She's doing this like intentional study with her friend. Like it is the friendships where I've said, hey, let's do this together. Like, let's commit to holding each other accountable in this thing. Let's commit to like reading this book together, to discussing this book together. Those are the friendships where I see the most depth spiritually. And then they're the friendships that have lasted the longest. And I think about my longest friend in my life. We have been friends since I was 1 year old. She's a year younger than me, or else we would have been friends our whole lives. Just yesterday, we had a conversation where we were like, hey, her and her husband are walking through something really difficult. And I was like, hey, we want to walk alongside of you guys in that. Like, let's do this together. Like, let's commit to like meeting together, talking through this thing. And I just think that there's been moments where both of us have had kind of made those intentional steps with each other. And here we are, you know, 31 years into friendship. And so I just really believe, like, when you make God the center of your friendship, just like if you make God the center of your marriage, He is the glue that holds it together. It's not because you're an awesome friend and you're so good at like doing the whole friend thing. It is because He's at the middle of it, and He's the one that is like forging it together when distance, time, sin, the world is trying to break it apart. And so I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's so good. It's sometimes hard. This is probably one of the more challenging things, just because it takes like energy and effort, but it's so important.
Yes, yes. Shout out to Freedom Looks Good on You if you're needing an idea for what friend to go deeper. It's only 6 weeks. It's a 6 week commitment. So, yes. Okay. The last thing that we really believe helps to make a friendship last is holding grace for your friends to change. Like Kenz and I have said 5 billion times on this podcast, we've been friends for a long time. And that means that we've gone through a lot of different seasons together. We were single, starting a ministry. No, wait. We were in college first.
Yeah.
In college. Then we were single in our young 20s, building this ministry together. Then there came this time where, like, I was interested in moving away from the city we'd always lived in. And then I did move away. And then Kenz got married. Then I got married. Then she had a baby. Now I'm having a baby. And we've just been through all these different seasons and changes together. And there are definitely moments where one of us kind of began to change, or one of us began to make a decision that was like out of the box of what had it always been. And the other one would kind of freak out and be like, whoa, you can't do that. Like, that's not how this works. But I think the longer we've been friends, the more that we have realized that we really need to leave grace for the other person to evolve and to change, and for God to form the other person into more and more of His image. And I just believe that we're never finished products here on earth, like that God is always chiseling something, forming us into something that is really beautiful and incredible. And we don't want to be the person holding that person back from changing. And I think about a lot of friendships fall apart when somebody enters into a serious relationship or gets married, and you are suddenly in different seasons of life, and you're like, I don't know how we can be friends anymore. And I just challenge you, like, don't let that be the reason for your friendships to end. Like, learn how to be friends with your friends in every season, how to show up for them in every season, how to challenge them in every season, how to be their biggest supporter, encourager in every season. And I just believe that, like, I just believe that there's something that really beautiful that's happened for me when Kenz has accepted, like, that the me of 4 years ago is not the me of today. And she loved the me of 4 years ago, but she also has left room for me to be passionate about different things in this season and to care about different things. And she's been excited and on board with that. And I just think in long-lasting friendships, this is going to come to the surface at some point or another where you're like, whoa, she's different. And I don't know if I like this version of her, but I believe that there's something really beautiful God wants us to lean into when we have those moments that can be really powerful and really cool.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm just thinking right now of my style revolution over the years. I went from, Matt can tell you, I was like the most little hipster. I had, but I think it was trends too, okay? But I went from, I've done it all, guys. I've worn it all, done it all. Matt's just been on the sidelines like, cool, Kenz, cool. Like the look.
Meanwhile, Mac is like worn Free People her entire life. So, but no, that's like a funny way to look at it. But Mac is really good at this. I mean, this is, I think, one area that you definitely excel in. And I don't know if it's just because I've had so many like woo-wee all around up and down through it all, but she's given me so much grace, like we've said, grace to like change and for things to look different. And the reason why it's also, you know, it's kept our friendship, yes, but I think most importantly, it's always brought me back to where I need to be and to who I really am. And you know, if you don't have a friend, if you can't be that friend for somebody, there's a good chance they are gonna, you know, go a whole different direction or go off the beaten path and not come back around. Because you know what? Every one of their friends rejected them when they changed their mind or when they had a new opinion. Everybody left. Like, nobody stayed. So of course they're gonna go down that route, you know, and become that. And, you know, I think that's why it's a really important thing. It's really good ministry to stay through things with friends. And to just continue to ask questions and not even passively, but try to really understand it. We talked about this before, like get yourself in their shoes. You know, some things that I've like changed my mind on or changed have been great changes, and then others have been like not great. And you know, some of them Mac is just always put herself in my shoes and understood, and I always knew how deeply she understood and didn't judge. And so I always came back. I always came back around. I always talked through it over and over and over again. So I think it's just really important for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. And I am really passionate about this. I know that there are friendships where maybe like your whole bond was, they were your spiritual friend. Like you guys were learning to love God, to walk with God together. And then maybe they have drifted from wanting to walk with Jesus. And I know how hurtful and painful that can be as the friend, because you're kind of feeling like you're losing your confidant or your friend. And it breaks your heart to see your friend walk away from Jesus. And I see a lot of Christians choose to then walk away from the friendship at that point. And I just believe those are the moments where God is calling us to stay rooted and to stay planted in that friendship. Know that the friendship dynamic has shifted and changed, rather than this like maybe give and take kind of ebb and flow friendship. It is now almost a mission field for you, in a place where like you're going to give a lot more than you're going to get. But what an incredible opportunity to put the love of Jesus on display. I think about the love of Jesus that like pursues us, that chases us down. When we wander off, like he goes after the one, and you get to be this almost like tangible representation of the love of Christ in their life, who, while they've drifted away from everything that they've known, you are the person who says like, I'm still walking with Jesus. I still love him. I still see all like the hope in my life in him. And I sense that he's calling me to keep loving you and to keep pursuing you and to keep being your friend, even if you've changed so much and you're different and you don't want this anymore. I still want to be your friend. And I just think that that can be really powerful. And you never know how God might use your friendship to bring them back into the safety of his house. And so that's another little challenge. If you're the friend who you're like, my friend has drifted and like, it hurts and like I just want to give up and not be friends with him anymore, I challenge you to like know that their friendship is going to be different, but also like keep pursuing that friendship. Ask God to give you a new vision for how you can love that friend and how you can keep pursuing them. So
so good, so important. Okay, I hope you took away something from this episode. Now you don't have to go out and try to accomplish every single one of them. Maybe there is something that stood out to you or really convicted to you. Start to pursue that thing or integrate it into your friendship. I really do believe, we talk about friendship quite a lot, and that's because we really do believe that it's like really important in your spiritual growth and in your life. But you guys, what a fun episode, and catch us in not next week, but the next week with another super fun something something. We aren't sure yet, but we're going to figure it out. It's going to be a great episode. You guys, we love you. And we will be talking to you super soon. Have a great day.
Bye.